Hey, thanks so much for listening to the Ridge Community Church podcast. My name is John. I'm one of the pastors on staff at the Ridge, and our vision is to bring the hope of Jesus into every home. So as a piece of that, our goal each week is to bring you something that's hopeful and helpful. So subscribe to this podcast to make sure you don't miss any hopeful and helpful conversations. Hey, everyone, and thanks for listening to this episode of the Ridge podcast. If you find today's episode hopeful and helpful, then please follow or subscribe. And then rate and review so that more people can find the conversation. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to give us a follow and turn on your notifications so that you don't miss any of these great things we chat about. Now today, I get to share with all of you a conversation that I had with licensed professional counselor, Lisa Zwegerman. She shares some tools that will be really helpful for all of us to remember when we get angry. She also shares the difference between healthy and unhealthy anger and how anger might be affecting your relationships and a lot more. So this is my conversation with Lisa. Well, hi, Lisa. Thanks for coming on to the Ridge podcast.
Yes. Hi, John. Thank you for having me. It's always good to be here.
Yeah, you always bring so much wisdom and just great guidance. I know that I've learned so much from our previous conversations, and I'm excited about what we're talking about today. But first, how are you doing?
Well, thank you for asking. I am doing pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm doing well. Family is healthy. All of that. Kids are doing great. I would say we are dealing with an interesting Wisconsin winter here. And in that, I am definitely choosing to find the joy and the gratitude in our winter situation, as opposed to over choosing frustration and anger about what we have going on. So that's kind of where we are with our
winter situation. That's a good segue. Well done. That's a 10 out of 10.
I thought that might be good.
Yeah. Okay. So let's dive right in. Today, we're talking about anger, which I'm sure is everybody's favorite topic to talk about. Everybody loves to think through how they might wrestle through different anger elements. We've been talking about, we've gone through a series called I've Got Issues, and we've talked about the different things people struggle with. And behind the scenes, one of the topics that we really wrestled with and wanted to talk about was anger, and we ended up not doing that one for a different one. But I think it's something that a lot of people struggle with to different and varying degrees. I'm curious, just like in your experience, have you had lots of conversations about anger? How are you seeing that as something that many people are wrestling through?
I have, absolutely. I think that a lot of people are dealing with anger in a variety of forms. And it's exactly that. So anger can kind of show up in a lot of different ways. And I don't know that we naturally see it for what it is. I think anger is like many other emotions. There's different layers to it. A lot of the people that I talk to on a day-to-day basis, whether it be some clients, friends, family members, they're talking about a lot of frustrations and that sort of thing. And I do think that that can be mostly anger to some degree. When I say that there's different layers to it, I mean that anger can be a very useful tool. It can be a useful tool in our relationships with people. It can kind of like bring something up in ourselves that maybe we do need to discuss with a loved one or a friend or a coworker. But also when it goes uncontrolled or unbridled, it can be certainly damaging in situations. And I think that we probably have all experienced that to some degree. And so I do think it's a very important topic to talk about. I think it's an important issue for people to be able to have some tools in their tool belt to kind of recognize that in themselves, maybe even recognize that in others, and kind of get some skills to manage that, to deal with that, and to maybe see how it can be beneficial as opposed to allowing it to perhaps take control and run things. I guess long story short, I think I talk about anger with people quite a bit.
Yeah, I haven't heard a ton of conversations about like the benefits of anger, so I'm interested in what it looks like in a healthy way. I think it kind of makes sense, right? I feel like in general, most emotions have like there's a healthy element. I mean, even people hate anxiety, right? But anxiety exists for a purpose and situations where you're like, maybe you shouldn't be super comfortable in this, like, you know, you're walking through the woods and you hear bears. Like, maybe that little bit of fear anxiety is not a bad thing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
absolutely. So another example being about how anger can be beneficial, particularly if you think about maybe in a marital relationship and say I'm telling a joke and I think it's kind of funny, but it may be kind of at the expense of my spouse. And my spouse is getting angry, feeling that sort of like, oh, that hurts me. That isn't beneficial to our relationship. So that sort of anger that perhaps he's feeling, when he can communicate that to me clearly, that is hurtful. Maybe using those I statements like, you know, when you said that, I think that was going a little bit too far. And here's why. It made me feel this way. It made me feel that way. And so it can be beneficial in that it allows for this environment of open communication, empathy. Does that make sense? I guess it's like just that little bit of like anger comes up and you're like, oh, wait, no, I don't think that that's actually okay.
Almost like it's a warning sign, or it's like pointing to something that might be wrong if it's like healthy. Right. So what about the opposite side? What if like, okay, so how do I determine if, you know, maybe anger is something that's unhealthy? It's affecting my relationships. It's affecting my decisions.
Yeah. And I think we have a lot more examples of that in relationships. So one of the things when it comes to unbridled anger or anger being damaging is that it's oftentimes, it's just present more often, right? It's uncontrolled. It leads to discontentment, sometimes difficulty finding joy. I would say, going back to the relationship piece of things, one of the main issues when there's uncontrolled anger in a relationship is that it often makes the relationship and the other person feel unsafe. It could make it difficult, again, to feel vulnerable and honest, almost like that. There might be people in your life where you feel like you're walking on eggshells, that sort of thing. So like if somebody has potential anger issues, maybe they're aware of them, maybe they're not. Oftentimes for the people around them, it feels like this kind of uncomfortable place to be able to communicate clearly. There's a few other kind of examples that I could kind of run through too. When we talk about whether or not knowing if anger is an issue in your own life, some of these things that I'm just going to kind of list off. So if you find yourself feeling angry most of the time, if it's sort of your dominant stance or your dominant posture, dominant emotional posture, if you are frequently feeling angry, you're frequently feeling discontentment. If you find that even at the slightest a reaction, it's like your constant reaction, right? So and it may seem like out of proportion to what the actual situation is. So maybe you are reacting in a way that is bigger than what the situation allows. You may have a bit of an anger problem. Obviously there's an anger issue if someone is getting to the point where they are either hurting someone else, hurting themselves, hurting things in the environment. I mean, those are issues as well. And one other thing to think about too, if you have like uncontrolled anger, it can take its toll on you physically as well. And so sometimes people who have a lot of anger issues or chronic anger, they can have physical illnesses as well, can lead to different, different issues like that too.
We were chatting before we started and you mentioned that, you know, there might be somebody who's, and it's pretty common, I'm sure, where it's like you're experiencing maybe anger, but you don't even know that it is. You know, I feel like, you know, you get mad, you punch a wall. Okay. You probably recognize that, or you felt like you needed to scream into a pillow, whatever. You've probably recognized that that was like an angry moment, but I'm guessing that there's times where you're like, you don't even realize that the core emotion you're experiencing is anger.
Yeah, absolutely. I think some of the times, because the way that a lot of people explain anger is that it's like a secondary emotion. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't necessarily show up right away. It can often be that something happens and you have an immediate emotional response, but then the secondary emotion is oftentimes anger. And I think that we do see that a lot in different, it usually comes out in different relationships within family structures and that sort of thing. But I think also there's another few ways that we see this too, like in the community, or if you're seeing stuff on TV, something that maybe triggers you and you get this feeling of like, or this like, you almost feel as though it's this fury that's warranted. So like, I am, this makes sense because I definitely, you know, disagree with what's going on there. And that may be the case, but it may also be that it's keeping you from either making good decisions or relating to people in a way that you should be relating to them.
Yeah. I mean, I think of the example of like, you know, you're in traffic and somebody cuts you off, right? And it's probably fair for your response to be like, they just put me in an unsafe situation, you know? But if you're in the car with people and maybe somebody says something, those angry emotions that you're experiencing, maybe they overflow to them in that moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we do know that, you know, that anger can really affect our decision-making as well. There's even some research out there that talks about how angry folks, you're often taking cognitive shortcuts. And that makes sense because if you look at when you are angry or you're having an immediate response, you take shortcuts, right? You might not sit down and like systematically think through the situation. You may just react and respond. And the more that we're able to kind of grow our self-awareness about what's happening for ourselves and our emotions in moments, and even, you know, maybe situations that have happened before and they come up, the more that you can understand how you respond to situations, the better off you're going to be in managing all types of stressors.
So does the type of anger that shows up, whether that's like in a moment in an angry outburst, or it's like that slow burning anger that I'm sure everyone's experienced at some point, do the different types of anger kind of affect how you might work to resolve it?
Yes and no. I think ultimately the most beneficial thing to do with anger is to be able to recognize it in yourself, be able to recognize it in others, to be able to have an awareness of what you can do to deal with it, and then build your kind of toolbox to managing that. So that's the no, like that's blanketing it all.
The general, together, right? This is how you deal with all anger.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. But the further you get into kind of researching or learning about your own anger, the more you'll find out that it is complicated and it is nuanced. And there certainly are different types of anger. And I do think that it can be beneficial to kind of deal with them in different ways, right? Because if you're having anger because of a certain situation, you're going to manage it differently than something else. So like a few different types of anger, that I think that are very common, I'll just maybe briefly talk about, and we can maybe talk about why they would be different, how you would differently deal with them. So one of the things when I was thinking about this and looking up some things that came up is that there's a difference between behavioral anger, of course. So that would be something that's physical. This is common with people that we know that when they have specific anger issues, and this can be dangerous because it's expressed through violence. It can be destructive. This is often impulsive and predictable. This sometimes, you know, you'll see this, someone may result in like raising their voice, yelling, or hurting something or somebody. And this, of course, can lead to legal or interpersonal consequences. And so for that sort of anger, you're going to want to be able to, you know, recognize it straight away. And you're going to use some of those tactics in the moment of kind of talking yourself down. So you're going to use some deep breathing. You're going to try to walk away from the situation. You're going to maybe try to use some humor, either for yourself or the situation, to kind of diffuse what's happening. Maybe some redirecting your own thoughts in the situation. So, and then there, some other types of anger. I think that some of us are familiar with the phrase, the passive aggressive anger. So this is, you know, this could also be verbal or physical, but it usually includes emotional components to it. It's often people who are kind of angry passive aggressively are avoidant of expression. And so, you know, an example of this is, oh, I like your outfit, even though it doesn't fit you, or saying something like, that's not, you know, just,
you just added a line for somebody. They're just like, ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. It is most common in its verbal form, but it can also be, you know, like someone's closed off with their body language, a continual like putting off of a conversation that needs to happen or work that needs to happen. And so I think seeing passive aggressive anger in yourself is, again, it's very difficult, but oftentimes you're going to see it as a result, or sorry, you will, the result will be you're going to have relationship problems. Right. And so if people around you have the ability to have these conversations with you about, you know, that way that you're communicating with me is not effective. Here's what I feel when this is happening. And so someone who is oftentimes using passive aggressive anger, it may be because they don't really have the tools to recognize the emotions in that they're experiencing. And so then they often avoid it. It's an avoidant type of anger, if that makes sense.
Totally. Yeah, it makes me think of when somebody's like, they don't know necessarily how they're feeling, but they know that they're not happy with how something is played out. And so maybe they're, I don't know, it's like getting back at somebody, but there's a little bit of that where it's like, that's their own form of like justice is
right.
Either doing something with the relationship or you said like a passive aggressive phrase or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Or even like almost like a displacement of their own emotions as well. Yeah.
What do you mean by displacement of their emotions?
So when we displace our emotions, let's say we have a really hard day at work. This is the most common example.
Yeah.
A really hard day at work. And then we come home and we're still upset. And then we like, you know, kick the dog instead of like saying to our partner or our trusted friend, hey, I had a really hard day at work. You know, I want to talk about it, or writing down some things about how you felt in the day. The displacement is taking out those feelings on a different
source,
thing, person, place, source, that sort of thing.
Well, maybe we could talk about that one real quick. I think that is super common, right? Where maybe you're upset with your boss, you know, hopefully my bosses aren't listening to this, right? You know, I love my boss. You're upset with your boss, you're upset with a coworker, or maybe you have clients that like you can't express your anger, but they're demanding something of you that's like unfair or whatever that is. And then you bottle that up, we'll say, and then you come home and it's with your kids, it's with your spouse, it's with your friends. All of a sudden that anger is leaking out and you're like, I'm not angry with you, but you're like kind of raising your voice. Like, I'm not angry. It's like, well, maybe you are, you know, how do you work through that?
Right. So if I am the person who is experiencing that and I know that I am just full, like, I can't deal with it anymore for the rest of the day. Again, this goes back to that self-awareness piece of things.
Yeah.
It's so important that we continue to grow our self-awareness of our own emotions and our own feelings. And so I would be able to say, hopefully, okay, I had a really hard day at work. I'm going to think about some of the things that I know that help me to get back to where I'm at a functional part and I can deal with my family. I can deal with my friends. And so what that looks like typically, I think in a healthy way, is that maybe you come home and you go for a walk, or if you don't have the time to go for a walk, you maybe journal something very quickly about just get it out. Like, you have to get it out. You have to move the energy around from your body, from your brain, from your mind. A lot of people find, obviously, helpful exercise, all of that. I don't think that we need, that we should ever, like, diminish the effects that those coping skills have on that. So if I would say, if you don't know those things that help you, or if you don't have time to do those things that you know help you, that is one area of your life that you really, really, really need to focus on. So what are the things that help with your stress? Because it's going to affect all areas. It's going to affect you from becoming angry in a way that is going to be detrimental to your relationships.
Yeah. I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but what I'm hearing you say is, like, if you don't create the space for, like, these, like, habits or these tools, almost like in a regular rhythm, right? Because if this is a continual thing that you're wrestling with, you almost need that continual habit, or, like you said, coping mechanism in a healthy way, right? And you have to create that space. And that's, but that space is going to help you significantly more than just diving right in would. Does that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I think whenever we can take a pause and think about what is going on for us emotionally, physically, take in where we are. Again, it's the self-awareness. It does nothing but behooves us with our ability to function as a human. There's a term, you know, emotional intelligence. This is something that is often talked about when it comes to successful people or a life in which you are functioning well. And people who have emotional intelligence are able to have tough conversations. They're able to get angry and kind of work through it without it being detrimental. I would say that people with high emotional intelligence are able to, they just have a high capacity for stress, for life in general, and they know what works for them in a bunch of different scenarios. And so that's one thing to kind of strive towards as well.
Yeah. In your experience, have you seen people, like, develop that ability? Because I feel like there's this concept or misconception that, oh, you kind of either know your emotions, you don't. You kind of either know other people's emotions or you don't, you know? But I don't think that's true. I think you can grow in that area. Is that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And I would argue that that is the whole point of counseling, therapy, is to grow your understanding of yourself. It's to grow your emotional intelligence. It's to increase your capacity of all areas of your life. Being able to handle interpersonal relationships empathetically, judiciously. I believe that that is absolutely something that people can grow. And that even different events in our life give us opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, events give us opportunity to be stressed and to feel angry and to experience sadness and go through grief. But in those moments as well, we have an opportunity to increase our emotional intelligence and to increase our self-awareness. And I do think that that is, as a human, that is the goal, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Matt, honestly, that may be a whole other podcast topic right there, because I think that's probably a whole that's really good. Just going back to anger real quick, one of the things I wanted to ask you about was, like, what do we do when we're in the moment, something happens? I mean, maybe if you're a parent, your kid does something and it's like, it is the last emotional straw you have left. I'm sure no parent is connecting with that currently. But, like, what do you do to de-escalate yourself in that moment?
Yeah. And this is such an important thing to learn. This is important to learn as a child from a young age, and then continue to grow these skills through adulthood, because there will never be situations or seasons in life where you are not experiencing stress and anger. And that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
And so I would say one of the most important things that, again, cannot be overlooked And I, as a parent, as a counselor, as a spouse, as a friend, I would say I do this every day. But say you are in a moment and you are just like, I'm over it. I'm at my last straw. I'm about to lose it. You can't undermine breathing. So honestly, I know people are like, okay, yeah, breathing. But honestly, breathing does so much for you physiologically that it connects your emotional state, it connects your physical state, and it connects your brain all together. So like, just even taking a big deep breath, holding it for 10 counts and breathing out slowly. And if that hasn't done anything, do it again. And then if that hasn't done anything, do it again. And then if you're, say, in a room where you think you are going to start yelling at somebody, remove yourself from the room, right? Like, those are two simple things that you can do. If you are not going to engage in a conversation where you can control your emotions and your anger, the steps you need to do is to remove yourself from the situation. So those are two big things. I think those are very, you know, very important things that, should not ever be overlooked. Yeah.
I'm super interested because, you know, like anytime there's like those quick solve things, there's always that skeptical person, you know, they're sitting in the car right now. They're like, breathing. Yeah. Okay. I don't want breathing, you know, whatever. You mentioned the physiological side. Could you share any of that? Like what's actually, do you know what's actually like happening?
Well, I just know that there's no way to take in a deep breath and hold it and it to not make a difference with your physiological body. So you're increasing the oxygen that you're getting to your brain. Your brain is in charge of obviously your impulses, your emotions, everything that is coming in and the way that you're processing it. And so if you're increasing your oxygen, you're going to probably have some benefits.
Yeah. And also like a deep breath, like it slows your heart rate. And so like when you get angry, doesn't it? Your heart beats faster. And it's like the blood is pumping. That's why like the red face anger, right?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Exactly. All of those components. So there's a lot of research out there about that.
Gotcha.
So like anyone's skeptics out there, anyone's interested in breath work, there's a lot of different options. I like to do with clients, I like to do box breathing. So you look, you know, you do the shape of a box, you breathe in and you hold for the line across the top, you blow out for the line on the far side. And so you're picturing a box. So you're also using your brain to do that while you're breathing. So again, it's bringing in multiple different components of your body, your mind, and it works and it's super helpful.
That's great. Okay. So sorry, I interrupted you to ask that question, but you were going through some other ways that we de-escalate.
Yeah. So as far as de-escalating a situation, if it's to the point where someone's so mad or you're so mad, again, you need to probably not stick with that moment. So my suggestion is if someone's to a point where they're not going to be able to have a sound conversation, then they need to remove themselves from the situation and calm themselves down. And then you can address the conversation at a later point when you're able to have a meaningful conversation, a fair conversation. But in regards to other anger management techniques and tips, again, change your environment, step out of the situation that you're currently in. One of the things I mentioned before was like using humor. So sometimes you can use a little bit of humor to like diffuse a situation. Now that would be, again, it's not going to like deal with the issue, but it's going to break up the moment. So that
those that know me know I love that one.
Well, I think a lot of people do. And I think, again, this brings in like a social intelligence component because like people who use humor in a way to like diffuse a situation or to like avoid a difficult conversation or something, it's actually really shows a lot of intelligent socially as well. So we shouldn't think about it as like humor. Obviously, if someone's trying to have a conversation with you and you're like just making jokes, you're going to make them mad. But
yeah.
Like I think I do that with my husband. He'll be like, oh, yeah. I'm like, no, this is serious. Like we have to talk about it. But it can be a beneficial thing. And then the other big thing, like I said, like move your body, exercise, getting outside. These things can be very beneficial when we're in the moment and we're so frustrated that we cannot take another moment.
I wonder if a part of that, like you mentioned, like removing yourself from the situation, particularly in like, I think just because I feel like your partner, your spouse is going to be around you the most, right? And so if this is a frequent thing, maybe having those pre-conversations where you can say, hey, you know what, when we do have a moment where one of us is feeling really angry, maybe we have a phrase or something and we don't hold the other one.
Right.
I don't want the right word, hostage. We don't hold it against them. We don't try to force them to continue. It's like, no, what's best for our relationship is this, you know, pre-arranged phrase, like, we just need a minute or whatever it is. And you can like,
absolutely.
Yeah. So it's not,
right. So if it's two people in a conversation and one of them is not at the point where they can have that conversation, then the conversation shouldn't be had, which makes it difficult to find time to have conversations, but that's another thing too. Like a goal to do, but that goes along also. There's, and maybe the listeners would want to look into this as well, because I think it's along the lines of this anger and relationships thing, is like, we call it fair fighting rules. So being able to have tough conversations, being able to have conflicting viewpoints of things, yet remaining respectful and loving. And here's the rules. Here's the groundwork for these conversations and what this can and cannot look like. So again, that's using fair fighting rules. And that's a pretty commonly used phrase. And there's a lot of information out there for people that they can use in that regard. One thing I did want to talk about too, in regards to, you know, when you're angry and you can't seem to like, you know, you're angry, but you've got to kind of work through it. One thing that can be helpful too, and they call this thought or cognitive restructuring. And so this is like shifting the way that you're thinking about the actual offense or the actual anger. So if your phrase is, oh, this person is just always out to get me, right? Like that's your thought. That's your cognitive thing that keeps making you mad. Something that you can try is shifting your thought to something like, okay, this person keeps making mistakes, but I don't think they're doing it on purpose. Right? So it kind of changes where our anger towards that person might be. So I think this can be very beneficial, not only in relationships with adults, but this is a parenting one too, right? Oh, my kid just keeps doing this because they want to make me angry. They just keep doing this because it's, you know, it's about me, right? Like they were just trying to make me mad. Instead, maybe we shift and say, I don't think they're necessarily trying to make me angry. And they might not even be doing this on purpose. They might not even be aware that this is really ticking me off. So again, like changing our thought, changing our cognitive perspective on some things can really, again, grow our self-awareness of how we respond, how we are getting angry. Why am I getting angry about this? Why am I, you know, is it because my understanding of the situation is maybe a little bit skewed, or maybe it's a little bit about me instead of, you know, maybe this person isn't really trying to make me mad.
Yeah.
You know?
Does this... do you feel like this works with a situation where somebody is really wrestling through a circumstance that happened in the past? And, you know, I feel like you see this a lot. I feel like you see this a lot on TV shows where like somebody does something that's like wrong them. And there's like a forgiveness element to this too, but, and they're just like, and maybe you're experiencing this where you're thinking through, and like every time you think about an event that somebody did or something that happened to you, and you just always get angry when you think about it. I guess, how do you move on from that?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I would never say that. Say that someone's lived experience in which they felt pain or they felt hurt, which led them to feel angry, I would never say that that wasn't true. You know, say like, oh, that's not really what happened. I think that truly the way to get, if we're looking to get through situations like that, and maybe we have been very wronged and we have been very hurt, and whenever we think about that situation, we get so mad. I do think that working through that, either with, you know, a friend you can talk about, but working through it with a counselor, it can be very beneficial also working through it with a trusted friend, maybe through a church group and that sort of thing, because you do need to process and work through those emotions, but you don't want to stay angry. So you can say, man, I was so angry and it was validated, right? Mm. That's the big thing, is like when we do experience situations that make us feel angry, and maybe we still feel really angry and we still feel really mad about those situations, it's okay to feel that anger. Again, anger is not a bad emotion, but it is kind of a secondary emotion. Like, it happens because of an initial thing, and we can work through it. Mm. And you can get to a point where you can then think about that event or think about that situation. And maybe the anger doesn't then encompass your whole body. Maybe it is like, okay, yeah, that was very hurtful and I was very mad, but now I can function through it.
Yeah.
So again, it's kind of increasing, again, we say it again, increasing your self-awareness, but also working through emotions, working through feelings, understanding how they in the moment kind of affect you, both physically, mentally, from a functional standpoint, working through it to a point where you can be functional, or you can't maybe, or it's maybe you can be in the same room as that person again, whereas before you couldn't.
Yeah.
And so it looks like different steps towards healing. It looks like different steps towards maybe reconciliation if it's with somebody, that sort of thing. But I do encourage people, if, you know, if they're to a point where they get so mad about a scenario that's either happened in the past or is currently happening, then they get some tools on board. And maybe that, again, is talking with a counselor to unpack some of those emotions.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's so good. Like, if you're in a place where you've tried to move on, but you can't, like, that's your sign. Like, it's okay to get some help on that. Like, that's totally fine. That's totally healthy. That's normal. That's, it's a sign of maturity, I think, to be able to recognize in yourself, like, oh, I need some backup on this one. And I also love that you said, like, it's okay if there's a situation that was like, has justifiable anger, it's okay that you felt or feel angry. Like, that's not wrong of you. I feel like sometimes, like, when the conversation about anger comes around, it's like, oh, just stuff it. You're not supposed to feel angry. Like, if, especially if you're like, oh, if you're, you know, if you follow Jesus, you're not supposed to feel angry. You know, it's like, well, I think Jesus felt angry a time or two. And so, you know, I think it's okay. How did he respond out of that anger? And how do you respond out of the anger? Are you saying cruel things to people because you're angry at them, regardless of what they did? Maybe not the best response, you know?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And you bring up a great point about Jesus was angry. God, you know, if you're a believer, God has given us all of our emotions. There's nothing that he doesn't not know that we have. And so we certainly do have anger, and God has given us that. And again, there are moments where it's very healthy to be able to express that anger. But what does that look like, expressing it in a healthy way, as opposed to it becoming what we had discussed before, like an unbridled anger, where it's then throwing things off the rails and affecting your relationships. And I think that people need to be able to recognize the difference between those types of anger.
Yeah. So I know you're like, you mentioned it a few times, but, just in talking about like faith elements, you are a person of faith, you follow Jesus. How does that component, cause so far we've kind of talked more in a, I'll call it a clinical way, I guess, where it's like, if you, I think principles that anybody can use, but as you look at it from also from like a faith perspective, how do you think having faith, following Jesus, how do you think that kind of feeds into or helps this process?
Right. Well, as you said, I am a person of faith as well. And I think for me, it's extremely beneficial. So my faith is one that I continue to look at my life. I continue to look at how I'm functioning with people and look at the way that Jesus lived. And right, like, we want to live the way that Jesus lived. And mm-hmm. he, no doubt, showed anger a few times, and it was effective, right? It was effective.
It was effective,
and it was helpful. But I also think that Jesus showed so much restraint when it comes to dealing with people who were just terrible to him. Mm-hmm. And this is interesting because I think that you do get conflicting responses from this from a societal standpoint, in which I often would take, or I would encourage those with faith, that you take this humble, this humility role, as opposed to like being aggressive in your anger, mm-hmm. right? So let's say an example, like someone has wronged me, and it is, there's no question, and I am angry about it, but I am going to wait. I'm going to kind of assess the situation. I'm going to remain calm. I'm going to remain humble. And I'm going to, when the time is right, talk to that person in a way that's going to be effective. That's going to be fair. And also I'm going to bring in those sense of what's going on for them. Like, why, like, I'm going to continue to love them even if they've wronged me, because probably something terrible is going on for them, and it's, and they're reacting, and that's why it's me. They're making me angry. Right. So it, I think it can totally kind of shift our perspective. It's almost like that, like, cognitive shift, right? Like,
yeah, you can
kind of think about it in that way too. But I don't oftentimes try to separate my faith from obviously my function, in the way that I am kind of dealing with my emotions and that sort of thing. And I think it's so extremely beneficial for people. I think faith, there's specific verses about anger in the Bible. And I think people can utilize those again as tools to grow their kind of emotional intelligence, right? Like, God wants us to be emotionally intelligent people, because we can be great examples for, like, showing the love of Jesus.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. Like, if you look at, if you look at all the examples of where emotions are talked about in the Bible, and you have authors talking about things like anger, those things can only be acted on. You can only read and respond and process through those things if you're willing to, like, assess, okay, what's my actual relationship with anger? You know, like, I can't follow through on, like, I know James talks about anger. I can't follow through on the wisdom that James is giving if I refuse to, like, acknowledge my own anger and where I'm at. Because if I can't assess where I'm at in my own anger journey, then I can't process through the things that Jesus is asking me to process through.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Awesome.
And there was that one phrase that I had wanted to share with you.
Yeah,
too,
yeah,
and
it
was,
yeah,
from,
yeah,
when God, you know, God desires for us to be able to lead, and not for our anger to take control. And the phrase was something like, anger can be a bit like using a sledgehammer in a situation that requires fine tools. Mm. And so I think, like, God wants us to have the fine tools to deal with anger, to be leaders in dealing with anger.
That's so good. I mean, that was kind of a closing thought, but as we kind of wrap up, yeah, that was good. we covered a lot of really good stuff. Do you have any closing final thoughts on this topic you want to share?
I would just say that to everyone, keep exploring your own emotions. Keep exploring why you're feeling the way that you're feeling. Understanding that anger is not necessarily always a bad thing. And oftentimes it can be used as a great tool in, again, growing your emotional intelligence and growing the way that you are managing relationships. Mm. So
that's really good. Thank you so much, Lisa. This was really good.
Good. Yeah. Thank you so much. It was great being here. Hopefully we touched on some good stuff for folks.
Well, that was my conversation with Lisa, and I love the practicality of using the deep breaths and creating space to leave the situation until a time where your emotions aren't doing your thinking for you. I also love the advice of creating some rhythms after you get off work to de-escalate if that's an angry thing for you through maybe some exercise or journaling. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ridge Podcast. And make sure to follow and subscribe so that you don't miss any hopeful and helpful conversations.